This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we decide to play without proper striker for the way they defend. They defend in a special way. They are so aggressive, man-to-man in the goal kicks, so high. And when that's happened, you have to make the pitch white. But I'm pretty sure now Zidane and his people is going to look what we have done, and the second game will be different. We have to be cautious or be alert what he's going to do and to adapt quick and try to go there to win the game. We cannot control what happened off the pitch, so only we can do is on the pitch. And they want to do it. So the last season we were outstanding. We were out for the Champions League, but we compete really, really well. They want to do it, and they do it for ourselves, for our fans, of course. I want to be honest, it's not easy, you know, for our club, leave that, also run opinions. But like yesterday I said, I'm so confident that everything is going to well, and what we can do to help the team is play good and winning games. That is only we can do. And hopefully the board, the lawyers, and the rest can convince the UEFA that we did the good things, the nice things, and the not wrong things.
On the Ball on BFM 89.9.
Man City boss Pep Guardiola, Man City being the only successful English club after the first legs of the round of 16 in the Champions League. This is On the Ball with me, Ross, and in the studio with me, we've got Bob Holmes.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Bob. We've got Lin Chu here.
Hello, good evening, everyone.
Big weekend, Everton v Man United. And Gogolin's here.
I know why I'm here.
Even bigger weekend. Villa to win the Carabao Cup. Yeah! Tweet us at BFM Radio. Tell us we're crazy. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook. It's BFM Football. The Europa League draw is happening in Neon right now, and we'll keep half an eye out on it. Give you all the latest news. In the meantime, we'll work our way through the midweek Champions League. Bad news for Chelsea. Chelsea 0, Bayern Munich 3. Serge Gnabry, the scourge of London sides again.
Serge the scourge.
Serge the scourge.
Well, he likes London, doesn't he?
Doesn't he just?
Yeah, yeah. He scored more goals than West Ham in London.
I knew there was a stat coming up.
I haven't checked it, actually, but you get the
sounds
idea.
Sounds good anyway. It's a good sound.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was a nobody, really, at Arsenal, wasn't he? He went to West Brom, and he was a nobody there. Arsene Wenger couldn't even get a tune out of him. But, oh, he's a sensation now, isn't he? Yeah, I mean, sounds four like goals. Four
but
goals,
to be fair, he was only, what, 16 then when he was in Arsenal?
Yeah. 16, young, 17,
so
yeah.
Like when Fabregas came on the stage, right?
Apparently, he was, in 2006, they wanted him in the World Cup squad, but he was injured. I was reading.
Klinsmann,
yeah. Klinsmann and Jurgen Löw really wanted him. So he was very highly thought of. But Bayern don't just have Serge Gnabry. They've got Lewandowski, probably one of the best number nines plying their trade around at the moment. And they've got this young kid by the name of Alphonso Davies, who's a Canadian.
Is he Canadian?
Is he Canadian?
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Canadian, right? Because I heard the interview, he was all like kind of really cool American, which I thought, hey, he must be Canadian. But no, he was very good.
Oh, he was, wasn't he? Yeah. He could be the first Canadian world-class player. America's got Pulisic.
Pulisic, yeah.
Now Canada follows. No, he was great. And the thing about this was Chelsea, they can't really claim that they were... it was their kids against Bayern's old, experienced team. Chelsea only had three players under the age of 25 in that side.
Yeah.
There was only a very slight age difference in the whole thing, yet it did look like men against boys, didn't it?
It did look like that. And it's their eighth home defeat in all competitions this season, Chelsea. All right, we have to swiftly move along. Also happening on that Tuesday night was Napoli 1, Barcelona 1, Griezmann saving the Catalan blushers and at least bringing something back to Barcelona to play for, where Messi will turn it on in the second leg and they'll win 4-0.
Not this Barcelona. I don't think, with the amount of problems off the pitch and now.
All right, then 3-0. Just a hat trick from Messi.
It looked a bit laboured, though, if you ask me.
They were insipid, right?
Yeah, it was a bit flat.
But Dries
just lots of passing, possession, and needless possession, you know, passing around the ball.
Dries Mertens has scored 121 goals for Napoli. He's just become joint top scorer of all time of the club, along with Marek Hamšík.
More than Maradona.
Yeah.
Must be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was only there 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he can't have got 121.
Well, he got 55 in each year. Right?
All right, on to the big game on Wednesday. We heard Pep Guardiola at the start. Real Madrid 1, Man City 2. It started off with Pep Guardiola surprising everybody with his team selection.
Yeah. I think he got a bit lucky, actually. I mean, he's getting all this praise for, you know, thinking outside the box and everything. But that didn't really happen until he changed it when he brought Sterling. That was the point, that turning point. And he left Fernandinho on the bench, and we saw what happened. Fernandinho only came on because Laporte was injured, and that's terrible luck.
And that changed the most of the game.
So, I mean, there's a genius there, definitely. Pep is a genius. No one would dispute that, but he also can get it wrong, and he can also be lucky.
Yeah, this is where you live by the sword or die by, you know, because if you're going to put that tactical change and if it doesn't work out, you're going to be slagged off in the press and everywhere. But if it comes off, you're right. It came off because of the unnecessary substitution of Laporte.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were great. I mean, City. This was a fantastic night for City. One of the greatest wins in their history. They deserved it. No question about it. But I think he's been showered with a little too much praise.
Yeah, I think a little too much praise.
Real Madrid, to their credit, was just normal Real Madrid. Sergio Ramos being normal Sergio Ramos.
But at that point, it was all City anyway, right? They came out, I mean, once the
second half
came on,
yeah.
It was all City anyway. And I mean, Ramos is going to do what Ramos did.
What do we think that this Real Madrid under Zidane, this one, Mark III or whatever it is a bit weaker?
Well, there's no Ronaldo.
Yeah, they're missing Ronaldo, obviously, right? Yeah.
And it's still Benzema up front. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. And Ramos is not the Ramos of old, is he? I must admit, I admit to a bit of schadenfreude when I saw Ramos get sent off for the 26th time.
He's got more red cards than trophies.
Someone has worked it out. You add up all the days he's been suspended with those 26 red cards, and it's an entire season.
Wow.
Seriously. And for a very soft tackle.
Yeah, well, I thought it was a bit like Al Capone being done for tax evasion. You know, Ramos gets sent off for a bit of a pat on a shirt. I mean, it was correct. He didn't even dispute it, did he?
He just walked off, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, some
karma there. He's so used to being sent off, that's why he walked off.
In the other Champions League game on Wednesday night, it was Lyon 1, Juventus 0, Lucas Toussaint with the only goal of the game. A bit of a surprise. Juve are, they would consider themselves favourites for the title, wouldn't they?
Well, I was watching that game and I think they were a bit unlucky. They were, I mean, after at 1-0 down, they were still pressing high, creating chances. Dybala had a goal ruled offside after a while.
That's right, yeah.
So I think, I mean, they're in good stead. I wouldn't be that much worried with the firepower they have up front at home.
Mm. Okay, Europa League. This season, Bob was saying, Europa League this season is a lot of fun. Man United beat FC Bruges 5-0 on the night. It was a 6-1 win on aggregate. Odion Ighalo scored his first goal for United. Again, it was Bruno Fernandes inspired. That skip, hop and a penalty shoot.
You were enjoying that, weren't you?
Yeah. No, but I mean, I've...
Well, Fred scoring
like
two goals.
It's weird because United fans 6 months ago wanted this player in. They knew the kind of impact he would probably have on the side. But he has come in 6 months later and wow. He's just, wow. Everybody played well. Mata played well. McTominay was awesome. Fred, wow. Two goals in the game.
I mean, that's strange. Know, right?
The thing that helped them as well was the handball, right?
Yeah.
Simon Daly handball. It was so obvious. I mean, they took so much time.
Can't blame Simon Daly, really, because you know when... when you know Mignolet's your goalie behind, you might as well make the save first.
But why did the ref need 3 minutes of looking at it, you know?
I mean, it was so obvious, right? He was extending his hand out to block the ball.
And Bob and I were singing the praises of European VAR. We thought how they got it right. And then it's like you're checking something that's blatantly obvious. It's like the smoking gun was there. Oh, yeah, it was a gunshot.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, you know, they say Champions League is running the VAR a lot better than the Premier League, but not on that evidence,
no.
I don't think. Not this week. I don't think it performed too well this week.
Again, it depends on who's using it, right?
Yeah,
it's not so much the technology
itself.
I
mean, we've had this conversation many times. It's about how you use it and what authority you have over it. If you just completely hand over authority to it, then you're going to spend 3 minutes for somebody up there trying to figure it out.
Well, United through to the draw, which is taking place right now in Neon. Give you all the latest as we hear. First, though, Arsenal 1, Olympiacos 2.
I feel so sorry for Aubameyang.
After extra time, Aubameyang scored a beauty, a bicycle kick. It was scissor kick. It was gorgeous. You thought, wow, match winning. And then David Luiz is an Arsenal defender.
David Luiz ducking under the ball and then appealing for offside in the 93rd or something minute when you call yourself a defender.
You know, they passed a rule about kids not being...
Right, hit the ball, yeah.
Hit the ball, yeah.
Yeah, I think David Luiz thought it applied to adults as well.
or maybe, Bob, when he was like 9, he headed the ball continuously.
No, but then, I mean, this is going back to it. Like, I mean, what... I don't know if anybody watched the game, but to listen to that commentator saying over and over again, this is why Arsenal is not going to win anything. They cannot defend corners. They cannot defend set pieces.
Do you know what? Olympiacos weren't really that brilliant game either, right?
But they knew that Arsenal were already there. Were ready to be taken apart.
The winning goal.
Things worse, Aubameyang missing that last chance.
Exactly. You know, and after that.
Yeah. Yeah, the winning goal came as a result of a corner conceded by Bernd Leno, literally 2 minutes from the end.
Unnecessary corner.
And then they couldn't defend that corner. It came back out. The guy put the ball back in. David Luiz waved it by.
And that only can happen at the Emirates.
And I tell you what, Olympiacos' reward for beating Arsenal is a tie with Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Oh, interesting.
Right, because Wolves lost to Espanyol 3-2 on the night. They win 6-3 on aggregate. The draw is going on right now. LASK against Manchester United. Who's LASK?
Oh, that's regional team from Austria, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they were playing out in the seventh tier of the
Big
Austrian League or something.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, United won't want to lose to them.
LASK against Manchester United. Red Bull Salzburg or Eintracht Frankfurt against Basel, Sevilla against Roma, tasty, Inter Milan against Getafe, Wolfsburg against Shakhtar Donetsk, Rangers against Bayer Leverkusen, Olympiacos against Wolves, and Istanbul against Copenhagen. So far, that's that.
Wolves are away in the first leg then?
Wolves are away in the first leg.
Okay, that's good.
Who would you put down as favourites for this year's Europa League? I suppose Inter, just for the sheer money they've spent
on the squad. Who's Inter playing?
Inter against Getafe. Sevilla are perennial semi-finalists.
They haven't got Emery though, have they?
No, and they nearly went out this year. It was a VAR that called it back 20 moves before or something.
Yeah.
And
for the handball or something. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it was like really build-up play.
Yeah.
The poor guy who scored and just went, why?
It wasn't even him.
It'll be great if it was Inter Milan versus Man United for the finals.
Oh, yeah, true.
Right, then you get to see all the ex-United players.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Well, Wolves, Rangers and Man United have got to be quite happy at the moment with the draw. So just to repeat then, LASK against Manchester United.
Who did LASK beat to get there?
Decent team.
Great question.
Except I can't remember who. No, it was an upset, a real upset.
Well, it has to be for them to get this far.
Yeah.
Arsenal will be kicking themselves.
I mean, but no, I think United have got the between their teeth for this tournament.
With the way they were playing, with the swagger they were playing last night. Was it last night? Yeah, last
if,
night.
If you were Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, how much would you put into this tournament now?
I think you would look at it with a bit more intent right now, because the way they are, he's been afforded the luxury of playing Greenwoods and, you know, Chongs and all that for this tournament.
Yeah.
And it's paid off.
Yeah.
And now with a bit of experience in Bruno there and all that, you can see the gelling, right? I mean, especially against Bruges. And they're playing with a smile on their face, with Fred scoring two goals. Come on. Everybody's smiling now.
And that's how Mourinho made it into Champions League the last time, right?
Exactly, through the back door.
Yes.
And let's not say back door. Let's not speak about back door right now.
Current topic.
That would be some achievement for Ole and the boys. All right, that in a nutshell. We'll still keep an eye on the Europa League draw that's going on. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll start building up to the weekend's EPL for you. Stick with us.
Worth a try, and he's always prepared to give it a go.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Deserves a goal, that. Love the return pass. Just wide.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us, Googlin, Lynn and Bob in the studio, previewing the EPL weekend ahead of us. There's a Friday night match. Bottom side Norwich take on third place Leicester, 20 place 3. It's a 4 a.m. kickoff. He scored 14 goals in 12 league games between September and 21st December, but he hasn't scored since Christmas.
He's on a break, isn't
he? I'm talking about Jamie Vardy.
Every fantasy football player out there knows about what's going on.
Yeah. Everyone sold him already.
Yeah,
most people.
It's true.
But yeah, I mean, assuming it's too late for Norwich now, right?
No, not mathematically, certainly not. No, if they were to win tonight and the others, Watford and West Ham, for example, Bournemouth, all likely to lose, if they lost, and suddenly you look at a bit of a different picture down there. And this Vardy, I know he's retired from international football, but with Harry Kane being doubtful for the Euros, there is some talk of Vardy being talked out of retirement to play for England. But that's lessened during his goal drought. But if he were to come on with a spurt of goals in the last few weeks of the season, that talk may resonate and there'd be some substance in it. And he could even be persuaded, because it's essentially a home tournament, isn't it? The semi-final
and
finals at Wembley.
So on that note, I mean, Vardy is an out-and-out striker who'll always get you goals. Yes, he has a goal drought coming, has been going through pretty much a goal drought. But Brendan Rodgers is a great man-manager. He would have spoken to him, and especially a game like this, to come back, you could bet odds on.
Perfect opportunity.
This should be the perfect game for Leicester as well, Lynn. They're trying to avoid going four league games without a win. A win here will more or less get them back on track with their Champions League aspirations. And after spending so long in the top three, if you're Leicester City, you've got to really think Champions League.
And considering
now,
that they've only won, what, two out of the last nine matches, they're still at number three.
Exactly.
that shows the quality of the Premier League this year.
But like Bob says, if Norwich could win this one, that would...
Well, every relegation threatened team and every Champions League team are three games away from anything.
Well, the problem with Norwich is they've won just four times this season. And I can't see any team surviving if you just win four times in a Premier League in a season.
And Pukki stopped scoring,
well,
right?
Well, this is it. If he doesn't score, there's no party there.
You're still going on about that one, mate.
4 a.m. kickoff that. Norwich against Leicester, 20.
Yes. Everybody remember Friday kickoff? Make sure you make your changes for your fantasy league.
Yeah, you've got to do them today, right now. Bournemouth in 16th take on Chelsea in 4th. This is a Saturday, 11 o'clock kickoff. Now, Bournemouth, they're not safe from relegation yet.
Definitely not safe. No. I'd say they were one of the favourites for relegation. They were very unlucky last week, thanks to VAR, the Burnley game.
Mm. Apparently, they've had a dialogue with the Referees Association regarding that. All the players have, all according to Eddie Howe, I don't know if their mind's at rest, but they've had some dialogue about it. But yeah, I mean, that's enough to break anybody. And now you've got Chelsea. Who are hurt lion.
Yeah, well, it's the perfect game for Chelsea. It's away from home.
Oh, yeah.
They've got more points away than they have at home this season. It's Bournemouth, not Bayern. Bit of a difference. And the pressure's off. I mean, I know they're still wanting to get into the top four, of course. They're already in the top four, but I mean, the pressure, you know, there's a bit of a race on there. But I don't think they could have picked a better game to play after that humiliating defeat by Bayern Munich. And I think that Chelsea will actually win this quite comfortably.
Lampard would have had to chat with his boys. I mean, great game comeback for. They'll be up for it psychologically and mentally. And like you said, perfect game to come back for.
But on the flip side, Bournemouth were hard done by last week, you know. They could have been leading 2-0, right?
Could have, yeah.
Yep, and then, you know, in the end they lost.
No, it was 1-1.
Oh, sorry, 1-1, that's right. Yes, yeah.
But they found themselves 2-0 down.
2-0 down.
Well,
if
Bournemouth are going to pull it out and turn things around and make sure they're still a Premier League team next season, they're going to have to get Joshua King firing again. Mm. He's back fit. I know there was a failed January move, possible move back to Manchester United that didn't materialise. Bournemouth didn't want to sell him. So he's stuck there now. Him and Callum Wilson, they were both, well, Callum Wilson was a talked about England striker. Joshua King plays regularly for Norway, ex-Man United protege. They should have no problem scoring goals, but that's their crux this season.
Yeah. They didn't get the flying start that they usually do, which is their insurance for staying up. Because you see them suddenly like sixth or seventh in the league, thinking in terms of Europe, and then they don't win again for about 3 months. But they don't go down because they've got the points in the can.
In the bag, yeah.
Yeah.
They
didn't
usually
get that this year. So I really do think this Bournemouth fairy tale may
come to
an end.
You think the manager's going to stay?
That'll be the question.
That'll be the big
question,
right?
Probably not, no. But no big club seems to want him
either.
Yeah,
we've been 3 seasons here, we're having a chat about the manager. And we've always asked why are no clubs coming in for him.
Yeah, I don't know.
His name has never come up during any good big vacancies.
No. I mean, he talks well. He talks a good game. It's Bournemouth, isn't it? You know?
But still,
he's got to go somewhere else.
He has to make a step up, though, right?
Yeah, he's got to go somewhere else.
I guess clubs want to look for European managers.
Yeah, now because of the...
Exactly.
But even 3 seasons ago, you know, when he was the flavour of the month, we hardly heard. At one point, he was a big shot for England manager.
Mm. Well, Eddie Howe.
Yeah.
I thought at the time he would be perfect for someone like Everton to take Everton up, but obviously now Everton.
We're happy with Carlo.
Well, exactly.
right now.
They're an Ancelotti level manager, so that's quite different.
No, Eddie Howe is the sort of guy that the FA would go for England.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's a great point.
Well educated. Yeah.
But toes the line.
But he could maybe take a team like Crystal Palace to the next level.
Where, this is true. That's a great shout.
You're not your hard-working, long ball Roy type team anymore. Mm. And Palace, let's face it, they're quite safe, right?
They're quite safe. Yeah, you're right. Change the team, play a different style of football. Mm.
But then I was speaking to somebody who says, you know what, 50% of this has to go back to Eddie Howe and his lack of ambition. And you go,
This is true also.
Well, he was onto a good thing there, wasn't he? And I suppose he's got some loyalty, having brought them up from the lower leagues. You know, he doesn't want to sort of ditch them as soon as he becomes famous.
Well, he's kept them in the Premiership, which is basically what his KPI was.
He owes Bournemouth nothing.
He owes
nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if they get relegated, you can see him trying to stay there and fight it out and bring them back up again. Because
a la Chris Hughton
style. Exactly, exactly. And so that will be that then.
And he probably doesn't want to do a Moyes, right?
Not many more people want to.
All right, then, your Bournemouth game kicks off at 11 o'clock. Bournemouth at 16th against Chelsea, 4th. We're going for another short break. Just before we do that, the Europa League draw has been made in neon. Istanbul versus FC Copenhagen. Olympiakos, conquerors of Arsenal, against Wolverhampton Wanderers. Rangers of Scotland against Bayer Leverkusen. Wolfsburg against Shakhtar Donetsk, Inter Milan against Getafe, Sevilla against Roma, Red Bull Salzburg or Eintracht Frankfurt against Basel, and it's LASK against Manchester United. Very nice draw, I think, for the English clubs. They will all be quite pleased with that. Okay, another short break, then we continue our weekend preview right after this.
What about that clearance off the line? How important did that turn out to be in the end?
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
It is a fine goal.
Fine header, fine goal.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. Lynn, Bob and Gogolin in the studio tonight. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook. It's BFM Football. Continuing our look at the weekend's football then. 19th place Watford take on top of the table Liverpool. Liverpool have a chance to open up that lead back to that ludicrous 25-point mark, which 25 points is actually more points than Watford have. That's just how ridiculous everything is at the moment.
That's how ridiculous the league is right now.
But hey, football's a funny game, and assuming Liverpool don't go through the season invincible, assuming they will lose one here and there, this would be the biggest, longest shot of them all. This would make absolutely no sense. But well, it could happen because it's the Premier League.
Yeah. West Ham actually came quite close, didn't they, on Monday? You could say that was an even a longer shot because it was at Anfield. And the way West Ham were playing, no one gave them a sniff. But, I mean, it was a close-run thing, and it was down to a bad mistake by the keeper. Fabianski, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For the winning goal.
The winning goal or the equaliser?
The equaliser.
Changed
the game. You don't rule out anything, and Liverpool are not playing with anything like the fluidity that they had earlier in the season.
But talk about seeing the carrot at the end of the stick. They know now, everybody knows, four more wins. They're just four wins away. Three after they beat Watford at Vicarage Road this weekend. Right, Lynn?
Yep. Win at Goodison Park, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Horrible thought.
Horrible thought.
But, you're Nigel Pearson. You've got Troy Deeney. You know he will be Troy Deeney at his Troy Deeney best. And you go for it, right? You're at home.
Well, this is the game. The reverse fixture was the game where they started their mini revival.
This is it. That was his first game, right?
Saar and somebody else had that terrible miss in front of goal.
Yeah.
If not, it would have been a different game altogether. And this started a mini revival. They picked up like 12 points on the trot.
But they fizzled since.
They have fizzled since. So, Villa fan
games.
Would not want to see Watford.
No complaints,
win.
Right?
Yeah, no complaints at all.
It's a 5-match winless streak now for Watford, and they cannot afford a winless streak, not at this late stage of the season.
The reverse picture was Pearson's first game, right? In charge? Yeah.
That was his actual first game in charge. So, I mean, I was reading an interview Trent Alexander-Arnold gave, and he, being so young and level-headed, he actually highlighted the fact that Watford were full of fight in that last game.
Yep.
And he said it's not going to be easy. But then when I read Jurgen Klopp saying, oh, it's going to be tough.
do the right thing, right? The PR thing.
I don't think he has anything else. He's able to say anything else.
Even
the Atletico game, he was saying the same thing. He's reading from a script.
Yeah, he's doing a fantastic job to keep this show the road. Yeah. I mean, to have the this lead, Arsenal, when they were invincible, they didn't have a lead like this.
No.
Nothing like it.
No.
In fact, the title was still at stake, wasn't it?
Yeah. Until went down to, like, I think, the
almost
second last
the
year.
Wire. Yeah. Whereas this has been done and dusted since before Christmas, really. Everybody
knows
that.
We were all waiting for the bubble, which never came.
And yet, he's still driving them on. And that is fantastic man management.
But isn't this better than, building up the expectations like the last time and then only to slip, right? Mm. When Gerrard slipped,
Well, he tried to keep the expectations down, didn't he?
Yeah.
Famously.
Oh,
it was incredible bad luck, that. I mean, there's no other way to describe it, Gerrard slip.
Looking ahead, this Liverpool side, I mean, the only thing that could break this side up is something like a Barca or Real bid for their big names, for either Mane or Salah or Firmino.
Well, they've got them signed up pretty well, haven't they, for the future? Why would they go there? Liverpool's a better team. Liverpool's a big club, isn't it?
But even then, Klopp will probably be able to get players and make something out of them, like what he has done with all these players.
Mm, yeah, right? True. I mean, you're not going to a bigger... You're taking a step down from Liverpool now, if you go anywhere.
Right now on the continent, they're playing the best football, if you ask me. The one with most eyes-catching, eye-pleasing, and their players are playing with a smile on their faces.
Do Liverpool have to win the Champions League this year?
No, not at all. No, they have to win the Premier League. They're going to win that.
They're going to win the Premier League. Yeah. There's no way they're not going to win the Premier League.
It'll be disappointing if they get knocked out by Atletico. Their only other defeat was against Napoli this season, discounting the Villa game, which I'm sure you won't be claiming.
I definitely not.
I would.
It's in the data for the history.
Exactly. On paper, black and white.
With 30 years from now, nobody's going to remember with the boys.
All right. Well, Watford against Liverpool is your late game. It's a Sunday 1:30 a.m. kickoff, that one. Everton against Manchester United. I'm staring at Lin Chu now.
Yes, big game coming up. Looks like it's going to be a high-scoring game, I think, because both teams are in form. And, United, they've got their little mini resurgence with Bruno Fernandes really doing well. So we've really got to keep an eye on him this week.
Well, this would be the proper first test for the whole Bruno Fernandes revolution at Manchester United, because I would say Everton would be the strongest team they've faced since they've signed him, right? And Everton under Ancelotti this season, well, they're 11th. They're 5 points off the European places. It's all doable.
Yeah, and they've had a complete week off, haven't they?
Good point.
United were otherwise engaged. And they'll be concentrating on training. I think this is probably the first time he's actually had a complete week with them on the training ground. And they've got a good record against United, of upsetting United.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer keeps bringing up the fact that last season it was 4-0, right?
Yeah. But it was a different team then.
It was a different manager for Everton as well. Marco Silva was in charge. But he keeps...
Because he's saying that was the lowest point.
Yeah, he was referencing that a lot, even this week.
So, yeah, you could see what he's doing with that. He's building up his players for the game and he's trying to tell them to show the fight that they've been showing for the past few games, the fight that they showed last night. You know, and Everton is going to have a really resurgent United on their hands.
I think Paul Pogba should be really ashamed if Andre Gomes starts for Everton. It's shameful.
Is he ready to start?
I think he's injured in his mind.
Well, one thing that gets me, if you're Paul Pogba, right? If you're an ace footballer, you see the effect that Fernandes has had so far. Wouldn't you, as a footballer, want to play
part of the team
straight away? Wouldn't that be one of
you would? I mean, but there's something more to that. You know, there's something
with his attitude, right?
His attitude, or the people behind him, or there's more to this story. And you're right. A simple footballer would want to play football.
Well, I think he's less likely to want to play now because Fernandes will show him up.
Well, this is true also. Yeah.
I mean, he's had much more effect in three or four games than Pogba's had in 2 years.
There's a school of thought that says he has to get a couple of games under his belt before the Euros. Otherwise, he might not even cement his France squad place. Everton would have been rested. Ancelotti would have been flexing his eyebrows all week. And in Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin, you've got pretty young, fast strikers.
Yeah. If Lynn isn't going for it, I might just pick this as a big shout.
Would Calvert? I mean, I
don't want to jinx it.
Well, I know. That's why I'm going to grab it from you while the chance is there.
Bob, you were mentioning Vardy coming back for England. Would Calvert-Lewin get a look in?
That was what I was thinking. Yeah. You know, maybe DCL could get in.
Because if you're saying like even Rashford, that's a question mark over now, right? Yeah.
Well, Calvert-Lewin never used to score, but he suddenly found his shooting boots in the last few months.
Did you see last week's goal?
Yeah. Oh no, if he can score on a regular basis, he's a complete player because he's been tremendous. He's always chasing down everything, chasing lost causes, harrying, great effort. But the weakness in his game was the lack of goals. But he seems to have remedied that. I don't know if it's just a purple patch he's going through. Hope not.
But against Arsenal, I think he could have scored a few more goals. But yeah, his finishing was just poor besides that superb goal.
What's Ancelotti need to do then? What do you want him to do in the summer to make Everton a confirmed top four for next season?
I think we're missing in midfield. What was I going to say?
Sigurdsson's lost his magic.
Yeah, Sigurdsson's lost his magic.
Schneiderlin is just really, really cumbersome and slow.
And when Gomez came back, I mean, you can tell that we really missed him because he made lots of lovely, lovely passes.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking he'll probably start this game because he looked like the guy who had the keys in that short appearance that he came on. And it'd be interesting to see Gomez against Fernandes. Hey. Hmm.
Yeah, well, I doubt if Gomez will play the 90 minutes. I think he'll be brought back in
probably
stages.
As a substitute, yeah.
Mm, yeah. But yeah, he's a class player. But I think to go alongside him, you need a ball winner. Gomez is a cultured player, ex-Barcelona. A Coutinho-type player, isn't he?
You need a cultured Peter Reid next to him.
Yeah, a Roy Keane or somebody. Yeah. You need that type to go with him. And then you've got the complete central midfield.
All right, Everton against Manchester United is a Sunday 10 p.m. kickoff, that one. Some of the other ties happening over the weekend. The Derby of Hate is happening in the South Coast. Brighton against Crystal Palace. It is a derby of hate. Look it up on the net. There are loads of reasons. Apparently, one of them is feces in the dressing room. Yeah.
I thought you said something about spilt coffee.
Yeah, there's all this.
There are loads of little bits. Right. It goes back to Tottenham being successful and then it all rubbed down and I don't know, fans getting on each other's nerves.
It's a strange tie, this, and people are now trying to come up with a name for it. Yeah, it's
A23
Derby doesn't quite do it, does it? You know, not on the weekend of the Classico. But what the best they've come up with so far is El Gatico.
El Gatico. Gatwicko. Gatwicko.
Yeah, Gatwick Airport. Okay. Because Brighton, either side of Gatwick Airport.
Well, Brighton are just 4 points away from the bottom three. So, if anything, they'll need the points more than Crystal Palace. Palace are safe. They're on 33 points. That's your early kickoff on Saturday. That will go down very nicely with dinner, that one. Brighton against Crystal Palace. Bournemouth against Chelsea, we told you about. Newcastle against Burnley. Newcastle. What can you say about Newcastle? They're lucky to be 14th.
There's talk of Dwight Gale coming back, isn't there? They're giving up on Joe Linton.
Blowing.
Well, they had Gales on the last two weekends,
exactly,
haven't they?
Yeah. Exactly.
Joe Linton, one goal so far for Mike Ashley's big investment.
Big investment, yeah.
Mm.
West Ham against Southampton. The Hammers are in the bottom three. They've had a tough run of games lately. This would be one that
this is a six-pointer.
Moyes would have marked this one down. And similarly, Hasenhüttl would probably be going, we've got West Ham. Let's turn it on here.
Well, Southampton, like Chelsea, have also got more points
away
than they have at home. So this is an interesting battle. I suspect that the loser here may well be fighting a long rear guard battle against relegation. I don't think Southampton are completely safe, are they?
No. No. Well,
34 points.
34, yeah.
Just about, but... You know, can't afford
one or two more wins and they're there. Tottenham against Wolves is your last remaining game. It is a Sunday 10 p.m. kickoff. It's a reduced Premier League programme this weekend because of the Carabao Cup final. And we'll build up to that final right after the short break. We've also got the treatment table and three big shouts.
Are we not talking?
Coming up for you next.
Fine save by the goalkeeper, spreading himself.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Worth a try, and he's always prepared to give it a go.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
And we're back. Gogolin, Lynn and Bob here. You guys were saying you want to say something about the Spurs-Wolves game.
No, we just
who's going to play up front for Spurs?
Exactly. I mean,
Mourinho.
I was speaking to some Spurs fans, and you know, the constant moaning that Mourinho has been going on about the fact that he has no strikers and the defensive formation that he's put out the past two games is getting to them. And you know, The fact that he keeps moaning about it and he's playing a Wolves side that are actually high on confidence, scoring goals for fun.
Man City won at the Bernabeu with no strikers. They played two midfielders.
Mm. This is Mourinho and he's ready made excuses. So I'm wondering, Spurs fans, I know, what are they feeling right now with, you know, new stadium, new team, new strikers, and Mourinho in charge?
Well, isn't Nuno Espirito Santo the premier Portuguese manager anyway?
Right now, yes.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a fantastic job, hasn't he? Yeah, and he rested a couple of players, which is unlike him.
Well, the game was technically won.
Yeah, but it was still a strong side.
True.
Traore played.
Yep.
Yeah, but Jimenez and Jota.
Jota is on some form at the moment. Yeah. And Jimenez, he's hit the 20 goal mark. He's already played over 46 games. I was reading. Amazing. That's great stuff. Right. That's your weekend's football. Here, then, is your weekend's treatment table.
Who's in? Who's out? Stay on the ball with the treatment table.
In the Friday night match, Norwich will be without winger O'Neill Hernandez, who faces 8 weeks out after a knee operation. Sam Byram is out for the season because of a hamstring, while Christoph Zimmermann misses his second game in a row with a strained hamstring. For Leicester City, Kelechi Iheanacho has recovered from suffering a blow to the head against Manchester City, and Wilfred Ndidi could return after knee surgery, while Hamza Choudhury is available after a ban. In Saturday's early kickoff, Brighton have no new injury concerns, with midfielder Dale Stephens available following two games out with a thigh injury. Jose Izquierdo is the only absentee in an otherwise fully fit squad. Crystal Palace expect to welcome back Luka Milivojevic, who missed the win against Newcastle because of illness. Fellow midfielder Cheko Kouyaté should also be in contention, despite being substituted late on last weekend with an ankle complaint. Bournemouth welcome Chelsea to the South Coast, and they will be without Lloyd Kelly thigh, Charlie Daniels knee, David Brooks ankle, Arnaud Grunewald ankle, and Chris Meppham knee. They remain long-term absentees. Nathan Ake and Jefferson Lerma should be available to Eddie Howe. For Chelsea, N'Golo Kante remains out with an adductor injury and is not expected back until mid-March, while Christian Pulisic also misses out with a recurring groin issue. Kiko Firmino is fit for Watford when Liverpool visit after a hamstring injury, but he is not yet match-ready. Daryl Yanmat has also returned to full training, but this weekend may come too soon. Liverpool will certainly be without Nathaniel Clyne, Jordan Henderson and Jordan Shaqiri, while James Milner faces a late fitness test. Theo Walcott and Lucas Digne are doubts for Everton when Man United visit Goodison Park on Sunday, while Jean-Philippe Gerberman remains sidelined long-term. Paul Pogba and Marcus Rashford remain sidelined long-term for Man United, while this weekend's game likely comes a little too soon for Axel Tuanzebe and Timothy Fosu-Mensah. Some early team news for Sunday's Carabao Cup final. Aymeric Laporte is definitely out for Man City after injuring himself in midweek. Leroy Sané is back in training but will probably not feature. For Aston Villa, they will be without first-choice trio Wesley, Tom Heaton and John McGinn, while Jed Steer is also out and Anwar El Ghazi is doubtful. That wraps up this edition of The Treatment Table. Enjoy the football.
Producer Tasha there with The Treatment Table. Don't forget to sort out your fantasy football teams. There is a Friday night game. Right, big match on Sunday is the Carabao Cup final. Aston Villa against Manchester City is the 60th League Cup final. How many names have there been? That would be a great quiz question. Right? Milk Cup, Carabao Cup.
Coca-Cola Cup.
Oh, yeah.
When I first watched it, it was the League Cup. Then it was the Milk Cup. Yeah.
Milk Cup, right?
Norman Whiteside.
That's right, Milk Cup final.
Drinking milk, I remember. celebrating by drinking milk.
Well, Aston Villa will be drinking a lot more than milk if they beat Man City. It's a big one. City go into this game as raging favourites, but they will be missing Laporte. And is that going to make a difference? Fernandinho will start, I guess.
I think so. But I think Villa, I mean, you can't rule him out totally, can you? I know you don't want to jinx them, Gox. But, I mean, City are, you know, they're still shaky at the back.
Yeah, and, if you attack them,
Yeah. I mean, they can. But I don't think Villa are going to be approaching this in anything other than a positive light because it's not the league. It doesn't affect the relegation battle whatsoever. If they win, it could give them a boost.
And they're definitely no pushovers.
They're not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, It'll be a decent game. I think he won't be like the FA Cup final last year when they beat City, beat Watford 6. It won't be like
that. Well, I hope not. But just to touch on what you said, you're right. Villa play well against the big sides. They haven't got points from the big sides, but they play well against big sides. It is a cup final. City are shaky in defence. We should get one or two goals.
Just need to be more clinical in the finishing, right?
Yes. Well, superstar players rise to the top big occasions. Now, Jack Grealish we've seen him start at Wembley before, exactly.
He's taken games by the scruff of the neck and changed them. This is a stage set for him. Grealish plays to the gallery. He will be bringing his A game. And let's hope there's some lack of fight in City after what they've done at the Bernabeu. You know, this is after all the Carabao Cup, which is like really down the pecking order in their importance. But it's a cup final. We have to believe. We have to go there and play with it. We have nothing to lose. We have to play with all the fight that Villa have.
Wigan did it before, remember?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Villa actually.
And then they got relegated.
Yeah, that's right. Quite a similar position, no?
Villa actually have a lot more experience in the final. They've been there 9 times. Only Liverpool, 12, have played in more League Cup finals. City are looking to win their 3rd consecutive League Cup. I bet the players just go, oh.
No, again. I don't think so. Aguero, David Silva and Fernandinho are looking at their 5th League Cup winner's medal. Now, that's, you know, that's
this
a bit
special. This was their first trophy that started their the revolution, right?
Yeah. No, the FA Cup first.
Was it the FA Cup or the League Cup?
They won the FA Cup first. Oh, okay. And then they won the League, and then they won the League Cup as well. Right. And they will equal, guess who? Who's only one player has ever won the League Cup 5 times. Famous name, play for Liverpool.
Ian Rush.
He's the only guy who's got 5 League Cup winners' medals. But those 3 will join him if they win.
Sergio Aguero has scored 9 goals in his last 5 starts against Villa. That's in the Premier League. And this includes January's hat-trick in that 6-1 victory. The recent form between the two sides, City have won 7 of the last 8 against Villa. They've conceded just 3 goals. You can't look at this on form because
it's a cup final.
Villa go into this with three defeats.
On terrible form with McGinn out, Wesley out.
It all points to a Villa win.
big shout.
Speaking of big shout.
Time for the big weekend shout.
We're going to start with you, Gox. Is it going to be Villa? Is that what you're going for?
No, I'm not going to jinx it. I wouldn't want to see this, but I probably think Watford might get something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, wow. That is a big shout. Watford to get something out of Liverpool. A win would be quite nice. Lynn, what's your big shout?
I'm looking at the bottom of the table as well. Gox won't like this. If Watford and West Ham win this, then, you know, it's big trouble for Aston Villa. But, with their much improved performance against Liverpool, I think West Ham is going to get a result from Southampton. I mean, after all, they have been winless in the last 5 games, so they are desperate for points.
That will push them out of the bottom 3 and, put Villa in a bit of trouble because Villa not in league action this weekend. Bob, what's your big shout?
Well, I've given it already, haven't I? Everton to beat United. I think that Ancelotti, you know, having them for a full week like this, rested. I think they can exploit United's rather shaky defence.
Good shout then.
Tune in next week for more big weekend shouts.
Just under 30 minutes left, or just enough time to tell you that El Clasico is on this weekend. Always a good watch. It's so much football. I think it clashes with the Carabao Cup final.
No contest, is it?
Hey, Villa all the way, eh? But for now, that's it. We're done. So enjoy the weekend's football. I'll be back on Monday. For now, I say thank you, Gogolin.
Thank you, and up the Villa.
Yeah, man, good luck Sunday. Thank you, Lin Chu.
Thank you, and have a good weekend.
And thank you, Bob Holmes.
Thanks, everyone.
Yep, spot you Monday. Bye-bye.
Follow BFM Football on Facebook and catch On The Ball next Friday on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.